this morning. The rest of us will be in 2 Timothy this morning, chapter 4. By the way, if you're not coming to a Sunday morning Bible study, you're missing out. I'm just going to point that out. You just had to show up to find out why. Strange things happen sometimes. So, how many of y'all realize that the Christian life is a journey? Hopefully everybody in the room knows that. And I hope everybody in the room understands that, unlike every other journey, it's just a little bit different in the purpose of the journey, right? As an old truck driver, I would always be given some freight and some paperwork and a destination. And I was to take that freight, drive it to the destination. And that would be the end of the journey, would be to deliver the freight. Didn't matter how I got there, as long as I was there on time. That was the motives. And then when I was younger, I tried to race cars a little bit. And the goal there was to not just finish the journey, but to finish it before everybody else, right? Get there first. That's the whole idea of racing cars or anything else for that matter. Get there first. Don't we all love to be first? Everybody loves to be first unless there's something to be responsible for, and then we're in the back of the line. We don't want to be first at that point. The Christian life, the journey, this spiritual walk that we're engaging in and committed to because Jesus is our Savior and He's loved us so much that we have willingly accepted Him as our Savior and His way to be the right way, we're living our life to be disciple makers. That's the journey. We're on a journey. Our destination is already secured. If you're saved, you know what the destination is. If you're saved, you know what the end results are. And the beauty about the Christian journey, the race that Paul describes as a race, is you don't have to win to get the prize. All you have to do is finish. Just finish the race. Finish the journey. Just keep going until you get there. Keep going until you arrive. And you get the award. You get the reward that Jesus paid for, by the way, not that you earned. You and I don't earn anything by taking this journey, by working out our salvation with fear and trembling along this journey, by making disciples and preaching the gospel and loving God, loving people, all of those things that Jesus commanded us to do. We don't do it to earn anything. We do it because Jesus loved us enough to purchase the reward. Isn't that great? So you can't lose if you don't quit. Hello? So today we're going to talk about how to finish well. We're going to talk about how to finish well. Finish what? Finish the Christian journey. Finish your time in this world. However long that takes. However many years the Lord gives you. If the Lord lets me be old, I got some time left. Less than what I've already lived, but I got some time left. Unless I'm 100, but that's probably not going to happen. But I might not live to be old, right? See, God says when it's over. God says when you're done. And only God says that. I don't know if you know of a man named, his name was Dr. James Dobson. Focus on the family. If you don't realize it, he passed away this past week. And if there was ever a picture of finishing well, he would be one of them. He served the Lord most of his life, from what I know. He did a lot of great things on this planet for the gospel, to help people grow spiritually, help people learn about God, and to even get saved. And from all I can tell, he was faithful. Maybe he fell here and there. Maybe he fell short on this or that. None of my business. From my perspective and what I know, it looks like he finished well. And he's able to be with our Lord right now. Isn't that great? He didn't quit. He didn't get old and say, I'm checked out, I'm over with, I'm not doing anymore. He kept going until it was over. And there's many, many more like him over the years, over the generations, over the ages, all the way back to the apostles in Acts chapter 2. They finished well, didn't they? They finished so well that their what we call legacy lives on even after they're gone from here. Their witness continues to impact people even after they're gone from here. Isn't that what you and I desire? Not for us, but for God's glory. Wouldn't it be nice to know, just for you to have some idea that when God calls you to come home, that when you leave here, that your witness and your life will impact people for years to come. It'd be a great thing. It'd be a good time. And everybody can sit back and say, I know the Lord because of this person right here or that witness over here. That's what Jesus intended for us to do. That's how Paul instructed us to live the Christian life. That's how Peter showed us how to live. Peter was a loose cannon. And if it wasn't for the Spirit of God getting a hold of him, he wouldn't have done no good for the kingdom. Spirit of God like harnessed all that energy and all that passion and pointed it in the right direction, and people got saved. Right? And you and I are saved because of their witness. 2 Timothy chapter 4, let's just read just verse 4, verse 6 through 8. He says, "For he's talking to Timothy, he's writing this letter to Timothy, and he knows he's about to die. He knows that his time is over. And it's not a bad thing. It's a pretty great thing. His race is almost over. And he's given instructions to Timothy. He says, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering at the time of my departure. And the time of my departure has come. And then he says in verse 7 and 8, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Isn't that, it's kind of neat to read. It's a blessing to be able to read these words from Paul, this servant of the Lord, who he knew his time was limited. He saw the writing on the wall. He knew that he was going to be martyred for the faith. I mean, they tried to kill him a bunch of times, and they finally ended up getting it done eventually. And he knew it. And when Paul said, I've learned to be at peace with all things, I've learned to be content with all things, this is what he meant. This is what he meant. He was looking at the finish line, y'all. And he's saying to Timothy, here's the way it's going to be. And he's giving him some last instructions. He said three things. I fought the good fight, I finished the course, and I kept the faith. Right? And sometimes we think about, you know, what would we like to be said about us after we're gone, or what would we like to have on our stone where we end up? And maybe these three things might be for you. Right? It would be great for me to know that these three things can be true about me when it's all said and done. Well, they're not just going to happen to be true. They're not just going to be true because I want them to be true. Does that make sense? If I truly want these things to be true in my life, if I want to finish well, then I have to make some intentional decisions about how I'm going to live for the Lord. And I have to be intentional about those things. All right, let's break it down. So he says, the first thing he says in verse 7, I fought the good fight. Well, what is the good fight? It all depends on what kind of fight you're looking at. Right? I was looking at something. Was it Jeff Bodine and Dale Earnhardt? You remember them two guys wrecking each other all the time? Them guys were fighting. They didn't care about winning no races. They wreck each other every time they get, that's a fight. But that ain't the kind of fight we're looking at, right? Some people might see, I fought the good fight when they get in front of the judge when they're getting divorced. That ain't the kind of fight that we're talking about. That ain't the good fight. What's he talking about? He's talking about fighting for the faith. Talking about standing firm in the truth. It's a fight, isn't it? It's a fight to honor God every day. It's a fight to stand in what's true when the whole world says that you're wrong. And you and God are the only ones saying you're right. It's a fight, isn't it? I think the biggest fight that we ever fight is the fight inside of us. The mental fight and the emotional fight that we wrestle with ourselves a lot with God's word and God's will and the Spirit of God. I think that's healthy as long as we're not losing the fight. As long as we're not surrendering, waving the white flag. We don't shrink back. In 1 Peter chapter 3, you don't have to turn there. Round about verse 15, he says, "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give it the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." He's talking about your witness. Paul, when Paul was running around the world preaching the gospel and starting churches and ministering to people with the word, with the truth, he was fighting the good fight. His personal witness was the good fight. There was times when they tried to kill him and they took him out of town and threw him in the street. And he got up and walked back into town and started preaching again. That's the good fight. You don't quit no matter what. How do we do that? We revere Christ as Lord, as 1 Peter teaches us. We're always prepared to tell people about Jesus. We're always prepared to tell people why we love Jesus. We're always prepared to tell people why we have hope after we leave this world. Just be prepared to talk to people when they come to you and say, "What's going on in your life? Why do you go to church? Why do you love God? Why do you read your Bible? How can you talk to God? He don't ever answer me." And you're right there and you're available and you're prepared. And with gentleness and respect, we insert the truth into people's lives by the way that we live. That's what Romans 12 is all about. That's the good fight. A distracted soldier cannot win a battle. I did not get a chance to go into the military and be trained to be a soldier, but I did get trained to be law enforcement. And in that training, they make it crystal clear that your focus is more important than just saving your own life. Your focus is crucial to saving the lives of people around you. And if you get distracted or if you're not paying attention, other people can lose their life. If you're not paying attention to what's going on, you might die, somebody else might die, your fellow officers might die. Same thing is true in the military and the soldiers. If they're not paying attention to what they're there to do, they cannot do what they're there to do, which is win the battle. You and I are not soldiers, not in that way. We're part of the family of God. Our mission is to go into the world and rescue sinners who are lost in their sin, who are trapped in their sin. We're the rescue squad. That's what we do. We're sent into enemy territory to tell people they don't have to be slave to their sin anymore. That's the gospel. And if we lose focus on that, then we won't be able to win the day for them. We won't be able to help them see the light in their darkness. We will not be the witness for the kingdom of God, and we will not participate in saving the lives of those who are lost through the blood of Christ. It was D-Day, World War II. They almost lost that day because they got scattered somehow. And if they didn't get each other regrouped and back focused again, they would have lost the day. But they didn't, because they got focused. And they get their minds on what they're supposed to be doing, regardless of what was going on. Imagine that whole scene. You don't have to know the details. Just know all these young soldiers, and they're running out of these boats and running up on this beach, not even knowing what they're running into, because somebody with authority told them to go. So you're totally relying on your training. You're totally relying on what you've worked on this whole time. Well, when Jesus says, go into the world and make disciples, we don't always know what we're going into. We don't always know what today is going to bring. We don't always know who God's going to put in front of us. We don't always know what the needs are going to be with the people that are in front of us. You see, that's why we study our Bibles. That's why we have fellowship. That's why we have prayer, ongoing prayer. That's why we get before the Lord and repent of sin so that we can be available. So that there's nothing between me and God or you and God, and we're just totally available. And when the Lord says, here, this is what I want you to do. Love this person in this way. And we're ready. We're ready to do it. And it becomes a natural thing. See, Oak Grove, we got to stay focused on our mission. What's our mission? Anybody know? Love God and love others. It says it on the logo in the hallway, and it says it on the website. It says bringing the community closer to Christ. We those of us who were here several years back, we sat down and we kind of came up with that. We're bringing community closer to Christ. This community, Arden, North Carolina, and surrounding communities, all we're trying to do is move people a little bit closer to God so that they might make a decision to accept Him as Lord and Savior. We're just loving people that would encourage them to get closer and closer to God. That's our mission. And it's totally in line with Jesus' command, go into the world and make disciples. Right? So it's not like we don't know what to do, so we need to fight the good fight. How do we fight the good fight? We stay prepared. We wake up in the morning. We're saying, okay, what's on the agenda today? What are we going to do today? How are we going to stand firm in the truth today? How are we going to love people today? And then go. And not be distracted by the world and its ways. Not be distracted by the trouble in life. Not be distracted by the sicknesses or the worries or the anxieties or whatever it is that takes our mind off of what we're supposed to be doing. How many times have I missed opportunities to be a blessing or to love somebody because I'm focused on my own problems? Because I can't get my own self squared away. And the whole time, I'm just being totally honest with y'all. The whole time when that happens, most of the time, I just feel God saying, if you would just look at what I want you to do, I'll take care of that mess that you're worried about. So be focused. That's how we fight the good fight. We focus on the mission. We finish well. You stay focused until you're done. Stay focused until you're done. Isn't that hard to do? We got too many things requiring our attention in the world. Let's continue to look at verse 7, because in the rest of verse 7, he says, I have finished the race. That's a statement of confidence right there, don't you think? I've been around long enough to know, and I've been involved in many people as they have come to the end of their life, and I believe that there's times when people can know. When it's time. I just believe they do know. And I believe that they may not know the exact moment, but they know that, okay, life is short. I don't have much days left. But he says, I finished the course. I finished the race. I'm done. He's not quitting. He just knows that God's going to take him home. He knows what's going on. Every time I read this and teach this, it always makes me think about our Savior on the cross. And that one statement. He's on the cross. He's bleeding out. Can't breathe. Suffering the consequences for all of our sins. Taking on sin on his own shoulders. The Father has to turn away from him because of it. And right before he gives up his breath, by his own free will, he says, it is finished. That means he's completed something. That means what he came to do is over. It's done. The job is done. And if we're going to be like our Savior, as we should be, if we're going to be like Christ, if we're going to be Christians, then we need to continue the task until we get to that moment where we can say, it's done. It's finished. It's over. I finished the race. I finished my journey. The Lord's done with me now. Isn't that be an exciting moment? I think it's going to be exciting. There's days, I'm telling y'all, there's days when I sit back and I just dream about that. I'm like, one day this is going to be all over with. So even as great as it is and as terrible as it is, it's just going to be a day when, if the Lord lets me know, I'm just going to sit back and say, okay, here we go. It's over. Maybe I'll get that, maybe I won't. I think the Lord would have us all say, it is finished, when the time comes. How do we know? How can we ensure that we can do that? How do we make certain that that can be a true statement in our own lives? Well, seeing how we don't know when we're going to leave, I would suggest that we just spend every day and every minute about the Lord's business. That's the only way I know how to do it. Just stay busy about the Lord's business. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, I'll just read this to you. It says, therefore, since we have a great cloud of witness surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us, look, run the race with endurance, the race that is set before us. Went to me weeks ago, I said that we learned that God has a plan for each of us, and he had that plan before we ever existed. Predetermined things that you're going to do. You're a tool for God's kingdom, and you have a specific job, a specific way to do it, specific people he wants you to minister to. Isn't it great how God can preach the same message with so many different personalities? And Hebrews is saying, look, just run the race with endurance. Just keep going. It's set before you to finish. God intends you to finish. He set it up to where you can finish. You can't fail. So keep going. Every day, just keep doing. No matter what happened yesterday, no matter what happened last, you might have a whole 2 years of bad things going on or failing God for 2 years. Get up and keep going. Today's a new day. God's grace is new every day. His mercy is great every day. Didn't have a great day with the Lord yesterday? Okay, let's make today a great day. Because there's grace. James chapter 1, in the first few verses, it says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith, what? Produces endurance. How many of y'all know that life is hard? Life is hard for even the most blessed people in this world. Life is hard. Why? Because hardship, sickness happens. Hardship happens. Disappointment happens. Hurt feelings happens. Nobody escaped the pandemic. That made it hard, didn't it? We've had wars. We've had all different things happen around the world. Life is hard, and nobody escaped. I don't care how much money you have or how famous you are or what kind of power you have. Life can be hard and will be at times. I think that, look, I grew up, my parents were broke. I grew up broke. I know how to be broke better than I know how to have anything. Right? Because I don't. If I'm broke, I don't have to worry about what to do with all the stuff I got. Does that make sense? I just know how to be broke. Sit there and starve. That's all you do. All I'm saying is, life is hard. God has given you everything you need to endure. In fact, it tests your faith. It helps you get stronger. You need strength to finish the race. You need strength to endure. You need strength to focus so that you could win the battles along the way. It's a marathon, y'all. I know it. I know. I've said this before. I'm not a marathon runner. I know y'all don't believe me, but I'm not. I'm just not I'm not even a marathon walker. Right? If you're like me, sometimes it's like, you know, these long journeys. It's like, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And you just don't seem to get there. I don't remember if it was, I think it was my brother-in-law. They were on a journey one time, and I think he drove like 8 miles or 10 miles, realizing he was going the wrong way on the interstate. They stopped for gas, and he got back on the interstate on the wrong direction. So he went 10 miles back the way they just came before he realized he was going the wrong way. So you just added 20 miles onto his journey because he wasn't focused on what he was doing. It could happen to anybody. It happens, you know, you could get, but you're just driving and you're driving and you're just driving. Or you're running. When you're running out of energy and you don't have any strength left, how do you keep going? I mean, I watch marathons sometimes. Some of these people, they get to the finish line and they're just like, their legs are just doing this here and they can't do anything. They're just like falling down and stuff. I'm like, why would you do that to yourself? And these guys, these people, these ladies and men who run these marathons, they're not really running to win the race, are they? They're running to say they finished it. They're just running to say they got this little trophy or medallion, whatever they get for finishing it. And they got these times that are, like, you got the guy that actually wins the race, and then you got, like, 30 minutes later, here's your time. And you're up, and you're proud of it. You're like, look at that guy, I finished the race. And you should be proud of it. Because that's a lot. That's a lot of discipline and courage and strength that you need. A lot of training. A lot of focus. You have to be able to dismiss the things that are getting in the way of you finishing the race. Make sense? As we as a congregation, we have believers young and old. Here we are. We have to be a church that of endurance. Our testimony has to stand the test of time. I mean, I feel like it's true because we're over 100 years old, so the witness of the ones who started the church are still affecting us now, aren't they? Over the years. So let's just pray that we continue to press on and continue to have endurance and build strength so that we can continue for the future of Oak Grove Christian Church so that we can glorify God. It's faith for the long haul is what it is. Now, the last thing in verse 8, he says, in the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which is the Lord. The righteous judge will award to me on the day on that day, and not only to me but also to all who have loved his appearing. Finishing well requires faithfulness because there's a reward to receive. Right? Now, when I think about rewards, it automatically makes me feel that I don't deserve any reward. I don't even deserve salvation. I don't even deserve to go across the finish line. I don't even deserve to be with the Lord because I'm a sinner. But seeing as how it was God's plan for Jesus to go to the cross so that he could open up the door for us to step into his grace and forgiveness by faith, based on the work that Jesus did on the cross, right? Are we not stepping into his righteousness in that way? Are we not walking in his righteousness? Are we not awarded righteousness because of our faith? So when we're in the presence of God, that's the reward, isn't it? I don't know about you, but we can look over in John's vision in Revelation where he sees that they're laying their crowns at Jesus' feet. They're laying their rewards down at Jesus' feet. If I have any reward at all, it's because of him, so why not just turn it over to him? That's what Romans 12 is all about, a life of worship, a life of surrender. Whatever I have because of Jesus, so I'm just going to give it to him. I'm going to surrender it to him. Faithfulness today brings reward tomorrow. Am I right? If you prepare today for the reward tomorrow. If you prepare today to be the witness, then maybe you'll see fruit along the way. And when it's time for you to be in the presence of the Lord, and when it's time for you to be at the finish line, you'll hear those words. Well done, good and faithful servant. Isn't that great? I mean, that's what we're looking for, isn't it? Except I don't think the Lord wants us to just focus on, I want to hear those words said about me. I want me to be great as a witness for the kingdom of God. I want the memory of me to be, he was a great Christian and a great preacher. I don't want all of that. I want the memory of me to point to God and his love. I want the memory of me and my witness to point to Jesus as Lord and Savior. I prefer that when people talk about me after I leave this world, that they talk about this gigantic mess that God cleaned up. A broken man that God put together. Defeated man that God gave victory. That's the witness. That's where I want to be like Paul, and I want y'all to be like Paul, where you can say these words. Right? I fought the good fight. I fought the good fight, and I finished the race, and I kept the faith. I don't want you to just say those words. I want you to say them with confidence. I want them to be true. I want it to be true that Oak Grove Christian Church folks are all about these things. We fight the good fight around here. And when time comes, we finish the course. We don't just, look, I got these movies in my mind here when I'm thinking about Scripture and thinking about spiritual things. I don't believe God wants us to barely crawl across the finish line all bloodied and beaten up. I don't believe that's what he wants. I don't believe that's what Jesus died for. I believe he wants us to come across that finish line strong and healthy believers. We might have some scars, sure. We might have some scars, but we're going to be victorious in that, because we know Jesus. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. We have everything he died for. How many times have you been knocked down? Spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally? How many times over the years? A lot, probably, because life is hard. How many times have you had to get up? How many times have you had to try to get up? How many times have you needed help getting up and carrying on with your life? And how many times do we sit around saying to ourselves, I don't see how anybody could recover from things like that without Jesus in their life? We say it all the time, don't we? This is what we deal with. This is the race. This is the journey. And we keep going, and we keep loving people. We keep loving God. We keep standing firm. We keep fighting the good fight. And we keep the faith. Just keep the faith. Sometimes it takes a brother or sister to come into your life at the right time and say, you know what, this is bad. It's real bad. Just keep the faith. Even if you don't understand it, even if you don't know how you're going to do it, just keep the faith and keep fighting. That's how we help each other finish the race. There was I don't even remember her name, and I don't even remember where it was. This illustration has been used many times. There was a swimmer who was swimming across an ocean, and it was foggy. She swam a long way. And I'll tell you this right now, I will run a marathon before I swim. But she swam a long way, and she couldn't see because of the fog. She got tired and she quit. And she was a mile from the shore. She quit. She didn't reach her goal. She didn't finish the race. She quit because she could not see where she was going. And she lost hope in herself. She lost strength. If she would have just kept going, if she had been able to see, if there was no fog, she would have been able to see. She would have probably kept going because she can see the finish line. Well, you and I, we don't get to see the finish line, do we? We don't really know how close we are to it. Now, maybe as we get older in life, we can start understanding that we're a little bit closer than we were last year to the finish line, right? I don't know what it's going to be like if I get old. It's going to be entertaining, probably. I can't imagine. I don't know. But if I do, I hope I'm still running strong, like some of y'all are. Some of y'all are steady going, like you know them old steam tractors back in the day. You get go to these tractor shows and they got these steam tractors and they're just like chuck 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 chuck, and it's just they're just rolling and they're stronger than anything we can build. That's what I'm saying. That's what I think. That's what the Lord wants us to do. Just keep going and keep fighting the fight and give the glory to God. We're not done yet. We're not finished until the Lord says we're finished. As long as there's people out there struggling in life, as long as there's people out there in the world that are living like there's no God, we got work to do. Am I right? As long as there's people out there that are looking for God, we got work to do. You know? And as time goes by, until the Lord comes back, we'll all take our turn in crossing that finish line. Until then, we're going to live like we know Jesus. We're going to live like Jesus loves us and we love him. We're going to live like there's some truth to be spoken into the world, and we're not going to shrink back from it. And when life gets hard, we're going to come to each other and we're going to say, let's just keep the faith. Just keep fighting. Take another step. And we're going to help each other take another step. We're going to help each other fight that fight and keep that faith so that each one of us can say, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. And I've finished the race. I just want to finish well, whatever that looks like. However long that takes, I want to finish well. Sometimes you get to thinking about life. I'm only 53, I think. Is that right? Yeah, I'm only 53. I mean, I'm still spry, y'all. I mean, my legs don't feel like it, but I am. Right? My eyelids feel good. Right? I have no reason to think that the Lord's done with me, and neither do you. And it don't matter what your age is. You could be 90 years old or you could be 20 years old. If you have the Spirit of God living in you and you're saved by the blood of Christ, you have everything you need to run the race. You have everything you need. I love you and the Lord loves you. We're going to sing. If you don't know Jesus, then you're not even in the race. You're just sitting on the sidelines. Not even participating. And God wants you to know that he wants you to be in the race. He wants you to have a reason to live your life in this world. And then he wants you to finish. And he wants you to finish well. If you want to know the Lord and you don't know about it, just call me, come see me. The Lord says, accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Surrender to him by faith. Trust that his work on the cross was for your salvation. If you believe that, then you repent of being an enemy of God. You repent of being a sinner. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. That's how you start the race. And the Spirit of God will be given to you, and you will have everything you need to finish the race.